This is Talk of the Nation Science Friday. I am Ira Flatow. This hour, we're going to talk about sort of a science roundup this hour. We're going to start out talking about the Stardust space probe that was on a mission to intercept a far-off comet called Vild 2 and brought back some very interesting pebbles, rocks, dust from the comet that was not expected. It took three trips around the sun, and 5 years later, somewhere between the orbits of Mars and Jupiter, the spacecraft came within 160 miles of the comet's nucleus, and it captured 1,000 microscopic rocks. And last January, the spacecraft cruised by the Earth. It dropped its payload over the Utah desert, and if you were lucky enough to be out there, you could watch it streak across the sky like a comet, and the canister landed intact. And the analysis of the space dust has been going on since that drop last January. And scientists publishing what they have found were very surprised by what they found. Joining us now to talk about these findings is Don Brownlee, professor of astronomy at the University of Washington in Seattle and principal investigator for the Stardust mission. Last time we heard from him in January, as I say, analysis was just beginning on these foreign rocks. Welcome back to Science Friday.
Thank you.
Our number 1-800-989-8255 if you'd like to talk about this mission. Dr. Brownlee, what was the most surprising thing about the rocks you brought back?
Well, one of the really exciting things that we found was that here we went to a comet that formed the very edge of the solar system out beyond the orbit of Neptune, out where Pluto is. And we've always known that comets contain extremely cold materials, ices that cold, that formed it not too much above absolute zero. But in the comet, we also found rocks that formed at the highest temperatures that ever could have existed in the solar system. And there are a variety of arguments that we can use to tie those to materials that form in the inner solar system. So we found the comet is kind of like fire and ice. You know, it has icy materials, but it also contained materials which in some cases, we believe, formed very close to the sun. And this is 4.5 billion years ago, the time the Earth and the sun and other planets were forming.
So at least part of the comet then started out right where Earth and the other planets were forming and found its way to the outer reaches of the solar system.
Yeah, the comet formed out at the edge of the solar system, but it formed out of materials that existed out there. You know, originally, yeah. You think of the solar system 4.5 billion years ago when it was forming. It was like a huge disk, like a giant flying saucer. And different solid bodies, anyway, formed from particles in that. Now, the comet formed at the outer edge. So it formed out of icy materials and rocky materials. And amazingly, some of those rocky materials came from in where we are, you know, much, much closer to the sun. And even some of them came way inside the orbit of Mercury, the closest planet to the sun.
So does this make you rewrite the textbooks on comets?
Well, in a way. Now, there have been several suggestions for mechanisms that could carry inner solar system materials out to the edge of the solar system. But nonetheless, most people imagine that the comets were always in isolation, in deep freeze, separated from nasty things that occurred in where the Earth formed. But now we actually have proof. We have proof that on the order of 10% of the comet that we went to formed probably with inside the orbit of the Earth.
Wow. And you actually, to recap the mission, tell us, the space probe flew by it and just collected dust from the tail.
This is quite an exciting mission. We spent 7 years in space, and we traveled almost 3 billion miles, further than anything from Earth has ever gone, and come home. And then we brought these samples back and been analyzing them since it landed in January 15th. But we flew past the comet in early 2004. We collected some of the tons per second of material that was coming out of the comet going into space. Mm-hmm. And the exciting thing about that is we believe the materials coming out of the comet right now are exactly the same things that went into form it 4.5 billion years ago.
How does the stuff you found in this comet and the surprising stuff that was created with heat as opposed to just the cold stuff out in the outer reaches, how would that compare with what comes in on a meteorite?
Well, meteor and meteorites are different things. Meteors are typical meteor you see in the sky, shooting star, is in fact a piece of cometary material.
Hmm.
We've never actually collected some of that because most of those things come in so fast and break. They burn up and break up in the atmosphere. Now, meteorites, we have thousands of meteorites been collected in a variety of places, including Antarctica. Those are wonderful samples of the early solar system, but almost all of them come from the asteroid belt, which is just beyond the orbit of Mars. So one of the really neat things we have now, we have samples from meteorites that formed between Mars and Jupiter, and now we have samples of a comet that formed out around, near Pluto. And which is the extreme edge of the solar system, and the meteorites are samples of the inner part of the solar system where the Earth formed. So we have now a wonderful way to study the processes and materials that occurred in the formation of our sun and planets. It's really a dream come true, actually.
Interesting. We think of possibly of having meteorites bringing in maybe some of the organic primordial materials that helped create the soup of life here on Earth. Could you find that now in comets? Are there organic parts in the comets too?
Yeah, it's interesting. This is a very interesting connection with astrobiology. On the prebiotic Earth, before there was life on Earth, there had to be organic materials for life to be assembled from. And there are two ways they could have come into being. One is they could have formed on Earth, but there are some suggestions that maybe they didn't form on Earth. So if they didn't form on Earth, they had to form somewhere else. So asteroid and comet materials actually right now fall to the Earth, believe it or not, at a rate of about 30,000 tons per year. So when you lay on your backyard in the summertime, you're actually laying on some little particles from comets and asteroids. You can't find them, but they're there. And those are actually rich in organic materials. The materials that formed further from the sun than the Earth did are extremely rich, maybe 5 or 10% organic materials, where the Earth contains a little bit. That's what we're made of, but it's a tiny, tiny fraction of the mass of the planet. So it's a little ironic that if you want to have an Earth-like planet for life, it forms in a place close to the sun where it doesn't intrinsically have water and organic materials. The things that are rich in water and organic materials actually form much further out in the solar system. So anyway, comets and asteroids are carriers of that kind of material to Earth. They still carry it today, and they certainly carried it a lot more in the past.
Let's go to the phones. Phil in Burke, South Dakota. Hi, Phil.
Hi there. Okay, two quick questions. First, Dr. Brownlee, can you list those high-temperature minerals? And second question, is it possible that they are older than 4.5 billion years old, that they are stardust, truly stardust, from previous stars? Those are my questions.
Okay, so I list those minerals. Well, we have about a dozen of them. These are what are called refractory minerals, things like melanite and spinel and perovskite and even osmernite, which is a titanium nitride. These are minerals that are characteristic of a compound, a rare compound found in meteorites called calcium aluminum inclusions. And they are chemically and mineralogically consistent with formation at extremely high temperatures. They're also different from normal solar system material in their oxygen isotope composition. But their isotope composition does not indicate that they formed no star. So they are materials from our solar system are, in fact, the oldest materials that ever formed in our solar system that we have samples of. So these have been known in meteorites since about 1969, and it was just stunning when we found one of those in the comet. In fact, in Seattle, the second particle we worked on from the comet was one of these calcium aluminum inclusions, something that some people think formed only a few radii from the actual sun 4.5 billion years ago.
Wow, that must have shocked you.
It actually was stunning. Yeah, we were shocked. And actually, when we announced,
somebody hit the instruments or something to see if it's working right, or
no, this is done with an electron microscope.
Yeah,
and it doesn't lie. We put the beam on it, and we put electron beam on a sample, and we instantly get a composition of what we're looking at. So you have to be
ready to be a surprise now by what you're finding out.
We were very surprised. a lot of the things we found on the comet were truly surprising and exciting. For one thing, we found little rocks. These weren't just single, you know, if you go to the beach and pick up a little grain of sand, typically it's a single mineral grain. What we found were typically rocks, which can compose of many minerals, which makes them much more valuable because it's the juxtaposition of minerals and their trace element composition and isotopic composition that really tell a fantastic story of early processes at the time the Earth and Sun were forming.
Were they what size rocks? Were they pea size? Were they tinier than that, bigger? Breadbacks?
The biggest rock that hit the spacecraft during the flyby was about a half a centimeter, which was the danger point of killing the entire mission. But the biggest ones that hit the collector mechanism were about a third of a millimeter in size. Most of the ones we've been working on so far have been in the range of 10 or 20 micrometers, which is about 10 or 20% of the diameter of a human hair. That may sound like small, but it's not. You know, it's these rocks actually are a challenge to us to work with because they are so big, because we have to slice them up with, like, diamond microtome knives in order to work with electron microscopes.
Right.
So one of the first things we have to do on any sample of the comet we get back is we have to subdivide it into smaller and smaller pieces so we can actually work on it.
Well, it sounds very exciting. We can only, you know, we hope that there's money to send more missions out there to collect them. And, you know, maybe the moon and the Mars missions don't take all the science money away. Thanks very much, Dr. Brownlee, for taking time to be with us.
Very good.
Don Brownlee, Professor of Astronomy at the University of Washington in Seattle and Principal Investigator for the Stardust mission. Boy, that was interesting stuff. We're going to take a break and come back. We're going to talk about some brain studies, about the mysteries of the mind and long-term memories and how they're formed. Some more surprising stuff on the surprising, call it the Surprising Science Hour this hour. We'll be right back after this break.